What are we going to learn this year as a church? Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday mornings, Sunday night. Lord, what is your will for us as a church? And God has everything we need in His Word to guide us. God has given us His precious truth. And in 2016, let me encourage you to know the will of God and to follow it. You know, as we've looked at our theme last year, the time is at hand. I hope you've been challenged to know that we better be serving the Lord now, because we are not approaching the last days, we are in the last days. Notice what the book of Ephesians tells us. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. God says we need to use the time we have wisely because the time is at hand. Redeem the time. It means make every moment count for God. And if we don't do that, the Bible says we are living foolishly. We are unwise. You see, if we are living for our own plans and pleasure, God says we are fools because the days are evil and we need to redeem the time. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let me ask you this morning, do you know what God's will is for you in 2016? One person has said this. They said that success is knowing the will of God and doing it. Success is knowing the will of God and doing it. And I'm sure each one of us here this morning wants to have a successful 2016. Amen? We want to enjoy the fullest blessings of God. We want to be used of the Lord. We want to experience the joy of the Lord. And my friends, that is only found in the perfect will of God. And yet, as I think about the road ahead, as I think about all the decisions that you and I will face this year, there are many different choices. There are many different directions to go. But remember, only one of those paths is the perfect will of God. And that's what God says we need to know. So this morning, we're going to look at some We're going to get some wisdom in seeking God's will. And I'd just like to share with you five key truths to helping us to know the will of God in 2016. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can we understand what His will is? Well, our first lesson this morning is found in the book of James, chapter number 1. Come with me to the book of James. Let's see what God says about the wisdom we need in knowing His will. James chapter number 1. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You see, God knows that we will face trials. We will face challenges. We will face times of crises in our lives this year. And the Bible says, count it all joy. Why? Knowing this in verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, God knows the decisions that await us. God knows the trials that you and I will face. And God reminds us here in James chapter number 1, that those times of decision, those times of trial, whatever they may be, are exercising our faith, are times to cause you and I to trust in God more. And one thing that God says we need to, that is required in knowing His will and continuing in His will, is found in verse number 3, and it is the word at the end, the word patience. Patience. Now, how many of you are like me this morning and you don't like to be patient? You know, in fact, in our natural selves, we are very impatient. When we have a decision to make and we don't know what to do, the temptation is this, to just make any decision, because that's better than waiting and doing nothing at all. That's what our sinful nature says. But you see, the Spirit of God says, trust the Lord and wait, because He is in control. He will guide us. And we all in 2016 need to work on this area of patience, don't we? Because the Bible says the trying of our faith worketh patience. You might be in a situation right now and you don't know what to do. And you're anxious. It may be in the area of your family. Maybe a decision that needs to be made and time is ticking. Or it may be in the area of work or your schooling. It may be in a relationship and you're thinking, what do I do? Let me encourage you to count it all joy. How can we be joyful? Well, we can be joyful in knowing that God is in control. He's saying to us this morning, be patient and rejoice because I know what I'm doing in your life. I know what's happening in your life. I want you to trust in me. See, God's delays does not mean he has stopped working. It's just that you and I don't know the details yet. God is always at work. He never sleeps. He is working out his perfect plan in our lives, and we need to be patient. Now, if we are not patient, what happens? Well, another word starting with the letter P pops up. Presumptuous, that's a good word. What's a shorter word that starts with P? What do we do when we're not patient? We panic. That's right, sister. We panic. We panic. And panic can lead to a whole heap of mess in 2016. Now come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 16. Panic. Now we have God's promises. We have his word. But if we're not patient, then we start to panic. And that leads to a whole heap of trouble in our lives. Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter number 16. If you are reading your Bibles through this year, following the calendar, you would have already read about Abraham. Abraham was a great man of faith. But just like any example of faith in the Bible, heroes of the faith, they all had their failings. That encourages us to know that God can use us too. Amen. But it also reminds us not to follow in the same mistakes. These are examples for us. Notice in chapter 16, now you recall that God in chapter 15 gave Abraham a wonderful promise, and he told Abraham that he will give him a child, and in fact his seed, his children, generation after generation, will be so great, they will be like the number of the stars in the heavens. And as Abraham looked up, he could see that the stars could not be numbered. God gave him a wonderful promise. He knew he would have a child. But time went by, and they could not conceive. Notice what Sarah said in verse 1. In verse 2, excuse me. And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, which is true. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. You see, Abraham's wife, what did she do? She wasn't patient, so she panicked. She panicked. She said, well, God has prevented me from bearing children, so we need to do something about this. She didn't want to wait. Remember, they would have Isaac at the right time when Abraham, I think, was 100 years old. But he wasn't 100 yet. It wasn't God's timing. And that time of faith, that time of waiting was a test of faith. And Sarai was not willing to wait. So she said, all right, I've got a solution. Let's do something about this. Here's my handmaid, Hagar, and why don't you take her as your wife? And let her have children, and I'll claim that child as my own. Now, what happened when they weren't willing to wait? Well, verse number 5 says, and Sarai said unto Abraham after the child was born, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judged between me and thee. So Sarai, after her handmaid had been married to Abraham and gave birth to a child, Sarai was despised in Hagar's eyes. And she realized then and there that she was wrong. She should never have tried to convince her husband to panic also and not wait on the Lord. And by the way, wives, when you panic, you affect your husband's faith. And husbands, when you panic, you affect your wife's faith. And we need to learn to be patient. And this is a wonderful lesson for us from the book of Genesis. You might say this morning, well, if I don't wait, and if I just come up with a decision, though it may not be God's will, well, He'll work it out in the end. What can happen? Well, we've seen what can happen. Their house was turned upside down. Abraham and Sarah wished that they had never taken that path. Let me encourage you in 2016, know the will of God. And in order to know it, until you do, be patient. Amen? Don't make rash decisions. Remember, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Until you know, don't say yes. Until you're 100% sure, don't make your mind up. See, God wants us to be patient. You might say, well, Pastor, what do I do in the meantime? I can't handle this pressure of not knowing. Well, come with me to the book of Psalms. And we're all in the same boat, aren't we? We don't like to wait. We tend to panic, even at the best of times. Psalm 130 encourages us in that area. Psalm 130, verse 5. Let's read verse 5 out loud together, shall we? Psalm 130 and verse 5. On to. 1, 2. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. You see, God knows that this year there'll be times of waiting. We don't know what God wants us to do. There's a decision to be made, or there's a trial we're facing. What do we do? We pray to the Lord. We ask Him for leading, direction, and guidance, and an answer. But if that answer does not come, we need to wait. But in the meantime, notice verse 5, God says, and in His word do I hope. So just because you and I haven't received an answer or an open door or leading from the Lord does not mean He's stopped talking to us daily through His word. Amen? See, sometimes we shut down with God. We prayed, we've asked Him for an answer. He hasn't given to us, so we just walk away. And we walk away from the Lord, and yet His word speaks to us every day. He speaks to us daily when we spend time with Him. In His word do we hope. We trust in His promises each day. Though He may not have opened any doors yet or shown me any leading in that area, He still speaks to us. He still holds His promises true. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know, well, we ought to know if we're reading His word, and we know that all things work together for good. The Bible says that's a promise from God. To them that are called according to His purpose. We still hold on to those promises during the time of waiting. So you see, Abraham should have held on to the promises of God. He should have said to his wife, now Sarai, God has promised us a child. We just need to wait. But they panicked. Can I encourage you in 2016? Don't panic. Amen. Trust the Lord. Be patient. Be patient. Patience leads to God's will. That's some wisdom for us for the new year. Patience. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What does panic do? It leads you on the highway out of the will of God. What does patience do? It keeps you in the will of God. Amen? Patience. All right, let's go to the next truth. In knowing God's will, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31. Now we know we don't like to be patient, do we? We all need to grow in that area this year. But here's something else we don't like either, but is necessary in knowing God's will. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31. The Bible says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. So notice for us here this morning, here is wisdom. God is saying you want to be wise in 2016? Here it is. The question is, do we want it? Do we want to know God's will? Are we really willing to seek His will, His way? God says in verse Notice in the verse 31, we need to be willing to be corrected. Reproof. The word reproof is the same as rebuke. Now, how many of us agree just the same? We don't like to be patient. We don't like to be told that we are wrong. Actually, even more so. Who likes to be told that you're wrong? Who likes to be pulled up and say, hang on a second, I think you're headed in the wrong direction. I think you're wrong in that choice. I think you need to change your direction. God says if we want to be wise, we need to be willing to be corrected. We need to be willing for our mind to be changed. Now, Abraham should have rebuked his wife lovingly. But firmly, he should have said, no, Sarai, you're wrong. This idea is ridiculous. It will lead to all sorts of trouble in our family. We need to hold on to the promises of God. That would have solved the situation. And also, you and I this year need to be willing to receive rebuke. In fact, the Bible says, notice what the Word of God says, that if we cannot be wise, if we're not willing to be told what to do, do you realize that God has given us the Word of God in order to be corrected? We all need to grow this year, do we not? We all have areas of our lives that are in a mess, all of us, that need to be changed, molded, broken, formed, and transformed for God's glory. And that can only come by the path of rebuke. God letting us know, hey, that area in your life needs to change. Corrected. But the question is, are we willing to be corrected? Are we willing to be told that we are wrong? We need rebuke. We need to be willing to receive it. The question is, are we open to being corrected? You see, when it comes to God's will, the dangerous thing is you and I making up our mind and not willing to be changed. That decision, not being willing to be changed. You see, when we make up our mind, we're set. It's done. And it's fixed. And so often we close our hearts to the Word of God in our quiet times. So often we close off our hearts to the preaching of God's Word. You know, as a pastor, the Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, he said, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Whether people like what you say, whether they don't like. And then he goes on to say, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You see, the Bible is given to us to rebuke us. The question is, are we willing for God to change our direction in 2016? Now, as I think about being rebuked, none of us like it. And it never feels good at the time, but it is good for us. It is necessary for us to grow in wisdom. Now, one of the most rebuked apostles became one of the greatest apostles, one of the most used. What is his name? The apostle? Peter, that's right. Have you ever thought about the fact that he became one of the greatest apostles, but he was the most rebuked? Have you ever noticed how many times Christ had to sharply rebuke him? Remember when Peter saw the Lord coming on the water? What did he do? By faith he stepped out. Wow. He was the only one that stepped out of the boat, but when he began to sink, the Lord picked him up and the Lord made a comment about his lack of faith. Well, Peter may have said to himself, hang on a second, I was the only one that jumped out of the boat. That's not fair. I don't deserve that. Well, he heard from the Lord exactly what he needed to hear for his own faith. He should have trusted the Lord more. And he learnt from that. He grew from that. How about another incident that happened? When the Lord was headed to Jerusalem and the Lord announced that he would be crucified and he would die on the cross. Remember, Peter said to him, Lord, be it far from thee. He said, Lord, I'm not going to let you do that. I don't want you to die. And what did the Lord say to Peter? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. What a rebuke. What if someone came up to a godly Christian that you respect, that walks with the Lord? What if they came up to you one day and said this, I believe that you are following the path of Satan in your life. I believe you're not thinking like the Lord, you're thinking like the world. How would you receive that? You know, most often, the average independent Baptist Christian would do this and say, I don't like that guy anymore. I don't think I want to talk to him anymore, because that's not the kind of thing I like to hear. But what did Peter do? Again, he took it on the chin, didn't he? He thought to himself, hang on a second. The Lord is rebuking me. I must be wrong. This is good for me. Do you remember when Peter said to the Lord, Lord, I'll never deny you. And the Lord said, no, you'll do much more than that. You'll deny me 3 times. But, after thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You see, after a ministry of rebuke during the apostleship of Peter, the Lord knew he was preparing a wonderful servant of God. And he said to Peter, don't worry, when you turn back to me, when you get revived and you come back to me, I am going to use you more than you think. And thank God Peter had a right attitude about rebuke. He stayed in the will of God. He didn't run off and have a hissy fit and said, I don't deserve being told off. I don't deserve being corrected. He didn't go find another church, amen, because he didn't like the preaching from the Lord. No, what did he do? He said, thank you, Lord. I needed that. Thank you, Lord. I want to serve you. I need to be corrected. You see, the most rebuked apostle was perhaps the most used apostle, the Apostle Peter. Let me ask you this morning, you want to be in God's will in 2016? Are you willing to be rebuked? Now, before we go on, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25 tells us in the next verse, in verse 26, 16 and verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So God tells us something very revealing, that oftentimes in life, we think we're right, we think we're absolutely sure, we think we've got the answer, and we know what to do, but we can be absolutely wrong. That's why the Lord needs to rebuke us. He needs to change our direction. That's why we need to be open to be redirected. Because the Bible tells us in the book of the Revelations, do you remember what the Lord said to to the church in Laodicea? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. We want to be in the will of God this year. Well, we need to be willing to work on the area of patience and also the area of rebuke. When the Word of God is preached, and God points out something in our lives this year that needs to change, are you willing to say, yes, Lord, that's me. That's me. Thank you, Lord. That's me. I need to change that area. I need to follow your leading. My friends, that is wisdom. That is wisdom in knowing God's will. Well, patience, rebuke. If you're in the book of Proverbs, let's go to chapter 20 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. Are you still with me this morning?
Yes, sure. Yep.
All right, we're on to our third principle. Wisdom in seeking God's will. Notice Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. The Bible says, every purpose is established by what?
Counsel.
And with good advice, make war. So here's our third lesson in knowing the will of God. We need to be patient. We need to be willing to be rebuked. But we also need godly counsel. God tells us once again, if we want to be wise in our decision making in 2016, then every purpose is established by counsel. Counsel. So what does that mean? God says this to us. If you want to stay in the will of God this year, well, you need to be willing to get godly counsel. Amen? godly counsel. Now, as I look at these points of wisdom so far, let's admit we don't want to be patient, we don't like to receive rebuke, and we certainly oftentimes don't want to share what's going on in our life with others, because we're worried about perhaps what people will think. Or perhaps we're worried about getting rebuked. Isn't that true? But notice what God says. He says godly counsel is necessary, is critical to our decision making in 2016. We need godly counsel. Godly counsel. Let me ask you this morning. When was the last time you had a decision to make, or you faced a crisis in your life, and you went and sought out a brother or sister in Christ that is spiritual, that is walking with the Lord, or you asked, Pastor, what should I do in this decision to be made? Can you give me some counsel from the Word of God? When was the last time you sought someone out for spiritual counsel? To be honest, most of the times we don't. What do? We make up our minds and then we tell others that we consider godly friends to pray for me. Well, that's not seeking godly counsel because we've already made up our minds, amen? With good advice, make war. That means before you make up your mind and charge forward into battle, amen, you need to get the godly counsel first. Seek it first. Receive godly counsel. That's necessary in order to walk in the will of God. But are we willing to seek His will God's way? You see, God works in a certain way, and He leads us along a certain path. Now, the beauty of the local New Testament church is that He has fit us in place in a local church for the building up and the perfecting of the people of God. That's why we're here for. We're here to grow together. We're here to seek the Lord's will together. We're here to serve together. And part of the blessing of being in a church is the blessing of the privilege of godly counsel. Let me assure you, godly counsel is not found in your charismatic friend down the road who hardly goes to church, who doesn't read their Bible, who believes in speaking in tongues. That's not godly counsel, my friend. That's not where to go to. Now, God wants you to be in a church. Amen. God gives you a pastor. Now, pastor doesn't know everything. Let me guarantee that. Pastor is not God. But don't underestimate the spiritual purpose in the church. Oftentimes, the Lord will give pastor wisdom for that specific conversation, supernaturally, because the Lord has a will in godly counsel in the local church. Now, I'm not talking about the gift of discernment, by the way. For those of you who are wondering, a pastor cannot see into the future. But it may be in his quiet times that morning before you met with him that God gave pastor a verse of scripture to share for that occasion. That's what I'm talking about. Wisdom, you see, in godly counsel. But that's one thing we certainly avoid. We make up our mind and then we tell others what we are doing, rather than seeking counsel first before we make up our mind. Now, some of you have heard this testimony before. Let me share it again quickly. In 2012, when God stopped me from getting work and showed me from His Word, He rebuked me, He showed me, just like Peter. I went back fishing and the Lord showed me I wasn't headed in the right direction. I came to my pastor and I said, Pastor, what do I do? What do I do? The Lord has said, don't take the job offer which was at hand, which I really needed. Christ said, lovest thou me, feed my sheep. Well, what does that mean? So I came to my pastor in Sydney. What does that mean? And my pastor said, well, it sounds like the Lord is leading you in a different direction. And of course, as my pastor, he knew what the Lord was doing in my life. He knew what He had called me to in the ministry. And he said, all right, James, why don't you start to pray for some churches that need a pastor? Some churches that are already established. And guess what one of them was? Coastline Baptist Church in the city of Cairns. Now, let me guarantee you, I had absolutely no idea that Coastline Baptist Church in the city of Cairns needed a pastor. No idea. In fact, I hadn't thought about the church since we first visited on our honeymoon. And yet, when I sought godly counsel, do you see the point I'm making this morning? God had already revealed some things to my pastor. Not some kind of lightning bolt from heaven or some spiritual gift of discernment, no. God had brought some information His way that He was to pass on to me. You see, that's how godly counsel works. Do you see, we have a sinful flesh and we want to live our own way. We want to go our own direction. That's why we need godly counsel. We need accountability. And we need help and direction. I thank God for the counsel that I received from my pastor over the years and in that moment, because that's the moment I began to pray about this church in Cairns. Before, I never would have. Pastor said, why don't you pray for this list here? And one of them was Cairns. Now you know the rest of the story. But I hope I have impressed upon your heart enough to say that we would not be here unless it was for godly spiritual counsel. Now, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I don't know God's will for your life. But let me assure you, if you want to be in the center of God's will in 2016, God says, not me, the preacher, not your friends, godly Christian friends, they're not saying this. God is saying this. Every purpose is established by good counsel. Don't miss out on the wealth of spiritual blessing in obeying the word of God and seeking counsel. Every purpose. Now that's a challenge to us this morning, isn't it? Don't want to be patient, tell you what. I don't want to wait, but we need to. We don't like to be rebuked, but God says it's necessary in the Christian life. Thirdly, godly counsel is necessary. Are we willing to be accountable, to seek godly counsel? Well, this is how we seek God's will His way. Amen? If we want to seek it our way, well, we'll just make up our mind. Amen? And we'll make up a decision. We'll coat it with all sorts of spiritual wrapping. And we'll say, yes, this is the will of God. But let me ask you, did you seek any godly counsel about it? Does anyone else know about that decision? Let me say this, oftentimes the pastor is the last one to know. And by that time, you've already made up your mind. I'm not here to change it, but God says godly wisdom is necessary in 2016. Know the will of God, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And church family, let me say this, in 2016, we need to get busy serving the Lord. We can't afford to lose the plot. The Lord is coming. He's coming for His bride, His church. We need to be faithful. We need to be found in the place where He wants us. Amen. The Lord is coming. He's coming. He's coming. We need to be ready. We need to be in the will of God. Patience, rebuke, godly counsel. Fourthly, notice Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The next one of our memory verses, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we see the importance of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. What is the fourth key in being wise regarding God's will? Well, we need the Word of God. Verse 1, Paul is pleading with Christians. He's not suggesting. The word beseech means to beg. He's pleading. He's saying, I beseech you, brethren. Please, don't miss this. By the mercies of God, if you've experienced God's mercy in salvation, you need to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He owns you. He's bought you with a price. You are not your own, the Bible says. Present your bodies a living sacrifice in 2016, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God says anything outside of whole 100% commitment is unreasonable to God. God says 50%, that's unreasonable. No, I bought your soul with my precious blood, Christ says. Anything apart from a living sacrifice is unreasonable. Well, how can we know whether we're serving the Lord, whether we're in the will of God, whether we are actually serving the Lord as we ought to? Well, notice the next verse. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, there it is, and perfect will of God. How can we know the will of God? Well, our mind needs to be transformed by the Word of God. Patience, rebuke, godly counsel. Fourthly, we need to continue to grow and to be changed via the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be in place in our lives this year if we're going to stick to His will in 2016. How do we seek wisdom? From God's Word. Now, God has already revealed much about His will already. We don't need to really ask the Lord, is it right or is it wrong, if we're spending time in the Word of God. For example, if we want to know whether it's right to smoke, you won't find a verse in the Bible about smoking. You won't find the Bible saying, thou shalt not smoke. But I tell you what, it won't take long if you are reading the Bible to come across what God says about our bodies. Well, we've already read it. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. That means our bodies are not our own. We are to give them to the Lord for His service. Then we go ahead and read verses about our body being the temple of whom? The person of God within, the Holy Spirit of God. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, as we spend time in the Word of God, we won't need to wonder whether smoking is God's will or not. Well, we know it's not, because it defiles the body He gives us. It's unwise stewardship. Basically, you're smoking away money in your hand. You might as well roll up a $20 note and light it up, and there it goes. See, it's unwise stewardship. It's damaging the body God gives us. God gives us wisdom in His Word already. Already revealed. We just need to spend time in the Word of God. We just need to be transformed. Allow Him to change your thoughts and mold them so that God's thoughts become our thoughts. How can we know His will? Spend time in the Word of God. Amen. It'll be very quick. It'll be very easy to know His will. In 2016, reading the Word of God, you'll know God wants you to be baptized. That's His will. You don't need to ask the question, should I or should I not? God says, yes, that's my will. Saved, baptized, added to the church, member of a local New Testament church. That's His will. You don't need to pray about that. And God says, because it's already revealed, He places us in a place of service. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to be a witness. You don't need to ask this year, the Lord, do you want me to be a greater witness this year? Don't need to pray about that. Don't need to wonder. You see, God has already revealed His will in His Word. We just need to follow it. We just need to say, yes, Lord, I need to be a witness. I need to be more of a witness at work, in my home, among my friends, in my neighborhood. God wants us to give. Lord, should I give to missions this year? Well, we don't need to pray about whether we should give or not. The question is, do we have a willing heart to obey the Lord? The Bible tells us we are to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. How do we do that? Well, God has put us here. How do we go over there? Well, we support those who have gone. We support those who are preaching the gospel in the regions beyond. Giving to the Lord. You see, these are things that God has already revealed in His Word. So if we simply spend time in the Bible each day, He will guide you. Amen? He will guide you. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Bible says God will show us. God will lead us through His Word. Now that's the general will of God. That's already revealed. But what about specific decisions this year? What about when something comes up that you don't know exactly what to do about? What do we do about that decision? How can we know which path is God's will? For example, what if you lost your job and then you were presented with five different jobs to choose from? Now, how many of us understand that only one of those paths is the will of God? Is that correct? Only one. And it may be none of them. That may be the option. But only one. What do we do? We've got many options, and some of them will be better than others, and some might pay more, and we might be sitting there going, well, I think I like this one because it fits the box of what I would prefer. But what does God want us to do? Well, let me ask you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Let's read this verse out loud together, shall we? On to Psalm 119, verse 105. 1, 2. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So here we are. In the darkness, we don't know what to do. What will guide us? The Bible says, the Lord will guide us. How? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The path of the perfect will of God is revealed by the word of God. Amen. And brethren, it is not complicated. It is we who complicate it. Because we see all the options out there, and what do? We let our emotions get the better of us. We panic. We choose something and we just go with it. And yet God says, no, I want you to be patient. I want to show you what to do. How does He show us? Through His Word. Look, how do we speak to the Lord each day? We speak to Him in prayer. That's how we speak to the Lord. We speak to the Lord in prayer. How does God speak to us? In His Word. In His Word. God speaks to us in His Word. We speak back to Him in prayer. That's how you and I have a conversation and a relationship with God each day. Amen? Sometimes we forget that. When we have choices to make, what do we look for? What do we more often look for rather than the Word of God? We look for signs. Do we not? We look for shades of signs in different things and we become a little bit charismatic about our decision making. And we say, well, that's an open door. It must be from the Lord. It must be God's will. My friend, the devil can open doors too. Amen? Just because a pornography magazine falls flat on the road in front of you, off the back of a truck, doesn't mean it's God's will for you to pick it up. Amen? The devil is a roaring lion. He knows how to open doors. He knows how to set temptations along your path, my friend. Some of them you may think is the will of God. But the question is, have you ever stopped and done this very important step in decision making? Lord, here are the options. You speak to me through your word. Please show me what you would want me to do. Let me ask you, when was the last time you asked God for an answer from His word? Isn't it true? We go with our feelings. We go with the opinions of others. We go with signs. The best option financially. The question is, what does God say? You see, when we seek His wisdom, He promises to give us an answer. It may not be straight away, but God will speak to you through His word. Remember, this is the living Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He knows the depths of your heart. He knows the troubles in our lives. He knows the direction we need to go in. The question is, are we willing to seek His will, His way? My pastor used to say this when it came to decision-making, book, chapter, verse. He was a serious man. Still is. If I would have come to him and say, Pastor, the Lord is leading me on, I believe God wants me to be an assistant pastor in a church in Hawaii. Yeah. It's a beautiful church. Has a beautiful building. Amen. And that's right. very appealing. Now, he would have pulled me up and said, all right, I'm not here to tell you what God's will is. But book, chapter, verse. Which book of the Bible, which chapter of the Bible, and which verse in the Bible did God say to you, that's where I want you to go? Now, let me assure you, when I shared with my pastor Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, where God said again, come up hither to Cairns. He knew that that was the will of God. See, God has shown me in His Word, specifically. And God does that all the time, my friends, if we care to ask. How do we seek His will? Well, we need to ask the Lord. Amen? Ask the Lord. You see, the Bible says, be ye not unwise. Don't make foolish decisions in 2016. Please, church family, be patient. Be willing to be rebuked. That means a change of direction. My plans are finished. Amen? I'm going God's way. That's rebuke. And we can be zealous about it. We can say, thank you, Lord, like Peter. I needed that. Let me follow you now. I want to do your will. Then there's godly counsel. Every purpose is established by godly counsel. That's the wisdom of God. Fourthly, the Word of God. His general will is revealed, and as we ask God for specific answers, He will tell us. He will give us a verse that will speak to us specifically about that need. Yes or no, or wait. Fifthly, as we conclude, come back with me to the book of James, where we started our first point. What does God promise us? And let me encourage you to claim this promise for your life this year. The book of James, chapter number 1, and verse 5. Notice what God says. If any of you lack wisdom, that's us. God is speaking to us this morning. We all lack wisdom. It's a statement of fact. If any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says that if you seek wisdom from me, I will give it to you. It's a promise. And I won't just give it to you in a half-hidden type of way. I will pour out my wisdom upon you. In fact, you will know 100% for sure what I want you to do if you ask of God. What a wonderful promise. How can we know we're in the will of God? Ask God. Amen? Ask God. I know it sounds simple, but so often we miss it. We don't ask the Lord. We ask ourselves, what's the best option for me? What will work out best for me? But God says, be ye not conformed to this world, to this world's thinking, to my own thinking, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me encourage you this year to seek God's will His way. He's not hiding it from us. He may want us to wait, like Abraham, to increase our faith, to know that during that time He'll still provide. He'll still speak to us each day. He'll still love us just as much, though He may not have answered our question. He just wants us to learn to trust in Him. That's good for us. That may be His will in the time before He reveals to us which way to go, what to do, which decision to make. But be assured, God is at work. He is faithful. But we need to seek His will, His way, to stay in the will of God. Let me encourage you this year to seek God's will, His way. Now, as we looked at heaven last year, we were reminded that that's the perfect place to be. Amen? But on earth, where is the perfect place to be? It's not a city. It's not a place. But it is the perfect will of God. For you and I, that is the perfect place to be. Let me encourage you, if you're there, to stay there. If you're not there, go there. If you're not sure, pray and seek the Lord's will this way. Patience, rebuke, godly counsel, the Word of God, and expecting God to give you the answer. Amen.